first speaker today will be Jack Barkenbus. Dr. Barkenbus is a political scientist and researcher who joined Vanderbilt in 2006. He's currently the Associate Director of the Climate Change Research Network, affiliated with the Vanderbilt Institute for Energy and Environment. He received his PhD at the University of Denver and his BA at Kalamazoo College. Dr. Barkenbus is also the director of THESA, the Tennessee Higher Education Sustainability Association. I'll let Jack talk a little bit more about this himself, but over the next several days, Trebekah Nazarene will host this year's THESA conference that will continue the discussion that we're beginning today. So, Jack's career is focused on the interface of energy technologies and institutions. Prior to joining Vanderbilt, he was the executive director of the Energy, Environment, and Resources Center at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. Dr. Barkenbus also served 10 years as senior scientist for the Institute for Energy Analysis in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. Prior to moving to East Tennessee, he was employed by Johns Hopkins University and at the Scripps Institute of Oceanography in California. He also served as a Peace Corps volunteer in Turkey for 3 years in the late 60s. And he's got several publications that have come out recently about CO2 savings and technology. So I'll let him begin.
Okay. Thank you, John. This is my favorite topic, sustainability. But I must confess, I'm not teaching anything. As you heard John say, I'm a researcher. So I think my capacity here today is really as the executive director of this nonprofit organization that I helped form, Tennessee Higher Education Sustainability Association. That was formed about 5 years ago in order to promote sustainability in Tennessee higher education institutions. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but I'll provide a little context for today's meeting, even if I won't talk about instruction too much. The USA News in January said sustainability had arrived on college campuses. The article said that more than 100 majors, minors, and certificates were created in 2009, as opposed to only three in 2005. And while I admit that this topic is gaining ground on college campuses, I think at this stage it's a bit overhyped. If you look at some of those new programs that have been created, many of them are just compilations of existing programs put in a different format so that it can say sustainability or an environmental major and involve relatively little new instruction. So one has to be careful about reading press reports on this kind of thing. I always remember I went to my first greening conference about 15 years ago, and I felt a little embarrassed because my institution had done relatively little in this respect, and here I was with the Dukes and the Emerys of the world. But then a keynote speaker was David Orr, who is somewhat of a sustainability guru for higher education. And he said, look, he said, what's happened so far is very nice, but we're really at the Kitty Hawk stage of this sustainability movement right now. We're about 5 feet above the ground. That's where we are. And we got a long ways to go. So don't feel bad if you haven't done much today. And I think we've gone beyond the kitty, to maintain the metaphor, we've gone beyond the Kitty Hawk stage, but we're not quite into the jet engine stage yet. We're still at the old propeller stage. And so I think there's a lot more that we can do and will do over time. Now, sustainability on campuses is usually expressed in both what's happening on the campus itself and in the classroom. And these tend to be separate endeavors. And I would submit we're much further along in our campus operations in terms of sustainability than we are in the classroom. And there's good reasons for that. Sometimes you can even save money by the sustainability route through campus operations. And what organization can better afford the upfront costs than an institution that's going to be around for decades? And so there's no excuses, really, for colleges to not take things that are expensive in the short term but pay off in the long term. So it makes sense financially to do many things consistent with sustainability on the campus. Plus, campuses want to be role models for the community, and they really look upon the sustainability. Many college presidents see it as a marketing tool. You want to get the best and the brightest coming to your school. You want to hype the what's happening in your campus and make them feel proud of that campus. And so it's a marketing tool in many ways. So for all of these reasons, the operations part of sustainability is taking off. But what we're here today to talk about is more of the classroom situation. And I would submit that progress has been a little bit more measured in that regard. You know, most of the faculty aren't familiar with sustainability and its major tenets. And they, even if they are familiar, they can be quite suspicious of it, feeling that, oh, this is the next fad that's going across higher education. We've had fads before. This is going to fade. Why should I bother my classroom with these concepts? So there's that attitude and just the natural resistance of the teaching community to change whatever they are comfortable in teaching. There has been the growth of specialized programs, environmental science majors and minors, and some sustainability things. But what they tend to do is they tend to take those students that naturally gravitate towards the environmental issue and make them stronger and do all good things for those people, but they tend to leave the rest of the campus where most of the students are, you know, to themselves. So we're not getting sustainability spread across the campus, or what I would say, we're not seeing sustainability incorporated as a core value across the entire curriculum, and yet it has the potential to be that. Many people have recognized that. And there actually is a model for begin introducing sustainability as a core value across the curriculum. It's called the Ponderosa model, or alternatively the Piedmont model. And interestingly, the founder of this model, Paul Rowland, is going to be in Nashville tomorrow. He's going to be at our THESA conference, taking place at Tribeca Nazarene University. And if you haven't signed up for the conference, just see me after the session, and I can register for you. For students, we waive the registration fee. Plus, there's free food, so that should be an inducement. You do have to find Tribeca. I don't know how many people know where Tribeca is, but there'll be plenty of parking available at the site. But tomorrow night, we're going to have a speaker who's written the book. Oh, gosh, I forgot the name of it. But anyway, it's dealing with renewable energy, and she's an environmental science reporter, and it's supposed to be quite a nice book and presentation. And then Thursday morning, Paul Rowland, who, as I say, is the founder of this Ponderosa model, will give a talk. How much he's going to talk about the model remains to be seen, because he's really the executive director of the Association for the Advancement of Sustainability in Higher Education. Now, that's a mouthful. It's called ASHI. And if you want, you should find it if you're interested, because it's the organization involved in spreading sustainability across campuses. And their website is ASHE.org. Well, he's the executive director based in Denver, and he's coming to the meeting to talk about giving a better talk than I can about how sustainability is or isn't moving across campuses across the United States. So, as I say, we'd welcome you to attend that conference and just come up to me afterwards and say you're interested and I can help you out. But anyway, this Ponderosa model is essentially what it involves is organizing summer workshops for faculty. It's usually 2 days or maybe a little bit longer, where you send out an announcement across faculty and say, we're going to have a workshop on sustainability for the purpose of teaching you how to incorporate sustainability within your discipline. Many people don't know how sustainability relates to history, to English. Most of them are familiar with it in terms of environmental sciences, but if you look at the basic tenets of sustainability, you can find ways to introduce it into your history classes, English classes, you name it, whatever, across the university. In most cases, universities that have gone this way find a number of faculty who want to attend these things. They are self-selected participants, but they generally want to learn how to introduce sustainability into their discipline and their classroom. And this is what that workshop is for. Last month, THESA held a one-day workshop where we brought in Lindy Biggs from Auburn to talk to the group about the audience that came from statewide institutions. There were 45, 50 people attending, talk about how to hold one of these workshops. And she has held it on the campus of Auburn University for 4 or 5 years, and about 80 faculty members have gone through these workshops. And her informal estimate is that about 80% of those who have gone through this workshop feel capable and willing to introduce sustainability into their classroom in subsequent years. So it's a bottoms-up approach to getting sustainability into the curriculum that seems to have some appeal. I don't think we're at the stage now where we can have a top-down edict from high, the administration, saying, aha, all you faculty members need to do this. I don't think it would work. I think the bottom-up approach is fine. It just will take longer than, obviously, a top-down one. So in short, I'm optimistic about the introduction of sustainability into the curriculum, but recognize that it may take longer than some of us may wish. But there are models out there to do it, and we hope to disseminate those models in Tennessee over the coming years. So that's my introduction, John.